Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I want to welcome all my guests in the U.S. and around the world. It is great to be with you again for True Forgiveness Teachings. I'm Jackie Laura Jones, and we are going to talk about the healing power of kindness today. And I think everyone would agree that we could use some reminders about kindness. And the Course in Miracles does a wonderful job of really helping us recognize the difference between the ego, right, the false self, the ego's kindness, and what the Holy Spirit's kindness is. So the ego, if we choose the Holy Spirit or Jesus as our inner teacher, everything we do will come from them. Right? So it will be loving. It will be kind. However, if we choose the ego as our teacher, anything we say will be coming from guilt and fear. So Bruce Rawls, our good friend, is going to join us in just a bit here. But what I wanted to do is just read the description of the episode for you all. We teach kindness by first learning Jesus's lessons of forgiveness. Right? So kindness is having a forgiving attitude. It starts with our thoughts, doesn't it? It's recognizing that we're not really separate from others, only in the forms of the body's eyes, right? The forms of the body's eyes show us that we're separate. But the Course is teaching us that what we're seeing is a false experience, that we're really all joined in heaven. Now, we say, how can I reconcile that here? Meaning, we say, oh my gosh, but what do I do here in the world, right? Where I believe I am, indeed, the experience that we're having. And so that's kind of what we're going to discuss today. So to finish reading the description, we teach kindness by first learning Jesus's lessons of forgiveness. That is then what we extend out to everybody in our daily lives, right? Inner peace is ours. Let me welcome Bruce in here. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being a practicing forgiver. I'm running a couple minutes late today.
No worries.
Good. So
great that we can always join together like this. And it doesn't matter, things like that. You know, we realize I was just saying to the listeners, I was reading the description for the episode, and I was saying, you know, how do we apply this in the world? It's always, but yes, I understand the metaphysics, but let's talk the practical, you know? And things like something that just happened that we're laughing, like, oh, I was running late or whatever. Those are the types of things where it's just almost like it doesn't matter because your mind isn't perceiving any type of like victimization or unfairness or judgment, whatever you'd call it, right? It's just almost like, well, this is the script that's going on right now, you know, and we
exactly.
Just go with the flow. And this show's supposed to be fun and, you know, just informative, of course, you know, and talking about everything. But I hope that it conveys to people kind of a relaxed attitude, because I've realized since practicing the course, it's so nice. We know the characteristics of God's teachers. And I think one could be, and it doesn't say this in the course, Bruce, but it's almost like not taking yourself too seriously, relaxing about things, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I was hustling, trying to get some errands done and projects that I had promised. And I thought, I think I can get this done in time. And then, maybe not quite.
and then
you responded with such grace and ease and made me feel at ease when you responded as I got on the air with you, and then I was reminded of a favorite Bill Murray saying, which he actually said in a couple of different movies. One was The Razor's Edge, and the other was I forget that name of the. He was coaching a kid's sports team, and Meatballs. And his phrase in both of those movies was, "It just doesn't matter."
Love it.
In the case of the kids' sports team, it was, you know, winning or losing just doesn't matter. And the Razor's Edge, where there were some things that would have been just devastating to most people, but I think he'd learned enough from his world travels that, you know, things come and go in the world, and that's just the nature of how we set it up. And then he had the same line: it just doesn't matter. And I think that's really a foundation, knowing that our real identity is secure and safe and sound and untouched and undaunted by anything that happens or doesn't happen in the world, including running a few minutes late or something that you really want to get to on time. But my apologies. And yes, thank you for, again, for practicing the Course's metaphysics by being very gracious and tying it into what we're trying to share here, right?
Exactly. Isn't this interesting? Like, I was thinking this weekend, I'll share a story if I remember it in a minute. But isn't it interesting how I kind of remember a time when I was so hooked and indoctrinated into the world, I didn't know I was dreaming yet. I didn't know, you know, everything that I know now. And I was looking back and thinking, oh my gosh, there was a time when I wasn't able to go with the flow as much in my younger years. And I look back and I go, oh my gosh, you know, that's so interesting. If I just would have let that situation ride. What the ego does, it builds up a whole drama around things, and then we have to keep repeating the story to ourselves in our minds of how we were victimized, how we were unfairly treated. If this didn't happen, then I wouldn't have done this. And if these people didn't, you know, then I wouldn't have done this. And I was thinking about that this weekend. You know, I thought, I hope that this show, now it's going on 4 years or something that I've been doing it, it's taking a serious look at the Course, but ironically, I hope it's light, and that way on purpose to kind of remember the joy within and not take ourselves too seriously, not because the things in the world aren't serious. They are, but the world is in your mind. More accurately, it's a projection of your mind. It's never left its source. And so we always work on changing our mind about the world. And I got really, you know, I think sucked into guilt and stuff this weekend. And I got physically sick. I did not feel well. And I didn't beat myself up for that or anything, but for the purposes of like clarification and sharing, you know, a story, I thought, wow, my thoughts had actually manifested. I knew that the sickness was in the mind. I didn't blame myself for feeling like a little bit under the weather. I just noticed it all weekend, Bruce. I was like the observer, and I kept thinking to myself, I got to get this topic to Bruce. I don't want to do this at the last minute, but I couldn't get up off this. I'm like, can't you just, the mind was going, can't you just do an email? And I'm like, but I want to talk about kindness, but I just want to look at it just a little more before I email him. And I had to keep observing that and going, I guarantee Bruce's day is not affected by whether Jackie emails him a topic or not. I was like, I guarantee he has a big, full life. I mean, you know what I mean? So I started laughing, but this is how my mind, just want to give an example kind of how my mind gets me. And Mark had to fly some people this weekend to Telluride, Colorado. Uh-huh. And so he was working, and I did not join him on this trip because I had a lot of kind of household things I was going to do. And we thought, well, we're not going to go anywhere this Memorial Day weekend, really. You know, sometimes we do. I was like, well, I'm just going to do the household stuff. I have a lot of stuff I'm putting in storage, whatever. Well, lo and behold, I woke up, I guess it was, was it Friday morning because he left Thursday or Saturday morning? And I felt enormous guilt. I'm like, why didn't you go on that trip with him? And I'm thinking, here we go. All right, ego, bring it on. I'm going to be looking at this guilt all weekend. And lo and behold, I punished myself by getting a little, not too sick, but just under the weather. So I felt like kind of that blah, you know, depressed feeling. But all the while, and listeners, you guys, all our friends, I just want to share with you, I let myself go through it. I did the normal things that I would do. I was like just making chicken noodle soup. But at the same time, I was watching the thoughts in my mind. I was watching the attack thoughts, and I was watching myself judge. And I remained the observer through the weekend. So even though the body seemed like physically sick, my experience was not nearly what it would have been had I not been monitoring and being the observer of my thoughts. So this thought system can really help you have a different inner experience, right, of what's going on, regardless of what's going on in form. So anyway, that's my you know, little story for this week. And I feel much better now. Mark will be home in a few hours. And I shared with him last night on the phone about my enormous guilt. And he said, oh, no, I would have loved to have you, of course. But we're doing stuff right now at the house. It just seemed like a good weekend for you to do that. He went kayaking and biking with his co-pilot. And they hiked the Black Canyon of the Gunnison. I mean, all this stuff. You
cool.
know? So here I am, right, thinking, why do you still have to feel guilty? Are you the center of the universe, Jackie? Certainly not. So you made a decision. It was okay. But I just like to share some of these personal experiences. I know it takes a lot longer, I always say, than what's actually going on in the mind. It's pretty quick when you're, you know, observing your thoughts.
Right.
But that was just kind of an interesting, you know, weekend that I had. So I'm done punishing myself for now, Bruce, I think.
Oh, good.
Until the next forgiveness opportunity.
Good.
It's
good to
so
hear
funny.
That. Yeah. Well, you know, in a sense, you know, it's a microcosm of the bigger macrocosm of, you know, the unconscious guilt and the unconscious punishment that we're essentially kind of doing all the time. By thinking that we're limited to a specific self. And, you know, sometimes it just seems to be more pronounced. But, you know, until we've completely let go of the thought system that we, you know, that suggests and believes that we've made up a world of separation where there's separate people and separate things and separate stuff of every sort, you know, we're going to still have, you know, ego thoughts that will come up in order for us to forgive and to heal. And that's one of the things that Jeff Siebert from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, who does a wonderful weekly audio program. It's been a few months now, but I remember he said something in one of the recordings that really stuck with me. And that is that, you know, it's really unrealistic to expect that by practicing the course that you're going to become ego-free, but because the ego will be still 100% insane right up until the end of the curriculum, which is what the course describes as, you know, where we reach the threshold and God takes the last step. But we will become far more peaceful long before that. And I think that's the whole point is, and you were just demonstrating and giving a great example of how, you know, years back, we, you know, probably would have been far more harsh with ourselves and not as kind.
Definitely.
So being kind to yourself and being kind to each other go hand in hand with really transforming our experience. And as you pointed out very appropriately, it's an inner change and not necessarily an outer one. Although the outer sometimes tends to reflect, it's no longer a big deal.
As
Bill Murray says, it just doesn't matter what happens outside as much.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you said that. My sister Cindy and I loved that growing up. Little did we know what that would come to mean for us. We used to walk around, we were little going, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Because if anybody, you could probably YouTube just that scene because it's so famous. If anybody just wanted to put in, you know, Bill Murray meatballs, it just doesn't matter or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's like, if they win, it doesn't matter. He starts out, da-da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't matter. He's like, because it just, and he just, oh, it's just so funny. It's like,
it really
so
is. It really is.
That up. He's in so many good movies now. I hadn't seen the other one you mentioned, Razor's Edge, but I should probably.
It was actually a remake of
that on my list.
Razor's Edge that he was in was actually a remake of a much, much older movie several decades prior. He did a great job with it. And, more of a, dramatic, less comedic role for him, which is kind of usual. But it was well done.
I love it that you brought that up, and you brought up another point too. I think it was piggyback. I think on what you just said that Jeffrey Siebert said something in the realm of, I kept noticing this weekend, people are often asking me, clients, whatever, people in the online classes, how do you know you're making progress, or how do I know that I'm making progress with the course? And I always experience that, and Ken talks about this too, that progress is really made in the course by how quickly you identify and look at your guilt and fear, your attack thoughts, not that you're not having guilt and fear.
Right,
see,
right.
Like you were saying, Bruce, that what Jeffrey was saying or whatever, it's not, the ego is always 100% ego there,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But how long do we stay in that thought system? How long do we stay? So for practicing so many years, for me, one of the blessings is I don't stay in. I'm quickly just observing it. It just becomes an attitude, like forgiveness is really, and kindness, therefore, is an attitude. It's recognizing where mine and other people's behaviors coming from, and understanding that we all have that same content of fear in the mind, even though the form is sometimes and often different. It's expressed in a different form. But the forgiveness is recognizing, wait a minute, we're not separate, and this is a fractured part of my mind. I'm looking at that person out there that I'm either judging, attacking, or maybe I'm not, but I'm just observing that they're different than me. Anytime we're thinking in terms of differences and separation, right? That's, we know we're in the ego thought system, but anytime we're just observing without judgment, and just kind of looking at the screen of our lives, but not with condemnation and not seeing separate interests, but really seeing the shared interests that we all have the same content in the mind of either love or fear. And we can tell when either we or others are expressing that. And so I was watching myself with this and recognizing that I had been really, judging myself and thinking there was something wrong with me. Oh, you're not a good wife if you don't go on the trip. Or something weird like that. Like it was that dramatic, but just like, oh, this would be so fun. You should accompany him. And I kept thinking, oh my goodness, look at that tape playing. Look at that tape playing over and over again. And Mark's so cute on the phone because he's like, remember acceptance. I said, I know. Isn't that so funny? You make a decision and you let it go. And then, Bruce, I kept thinking, past is over. Don't let the past guide me now in the present. Right?
It can't touch you. Yeah.
It can't touch. So I just kept going back to those thoughts. I hope it's helpful to you. We all have different things in the course that are kind of go-to things or things that we remember when we're back in the right mind. And I always remember that. The past is over. Do I have to bring it in, drag it in to the present moment? That's a decision,
It really is.
Better. Yeah. It's interesting.
And the dragging the past into the present is really kind of the default mode of the ego, because if we if we look at the setup, that the ego has made for making sure grievances, you know, are in abundance, so that we always have something to complain about and something to project that unconscious unfounded guilt onto.
Right.
But if we can look at that and just say, wow, that's a cruel thought system. There's no kindness in that. And
right.
it's not kind to ourselves. It's not kind to those that are, you know, around us, even though they're, as the Course points out, really within us.
Right.
But it's a whole package deal that just is dysfunctional, you know, and since you mentioned favorite phrases, I'm going to pull one of mine from Ken. And this is actually one of Ken Wapnick's favorite phrases that he liked, which is that the ego is just a maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem.
I love it. I love it.
I think that's such a great phrase because it really does, in just a few words, describe not only what the Course's metaphysics is all about, but how to achieve the peace that Foundation for Inner Peace in publishing the Course in Miracles is all about, and in a very
right.
pragmatic way. By seeing that it's a maladaptive solution, we can see that our projections don't work because they're not outside us, which is actually a good thing because that means we actually do have our hands on
power
control.
Over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not something on somebody else's control panel that we're at the mercy of. It's my mind's a dashboard that I get to throw the one switch that makes a difference, and that's switching my thought system from ego, self-interest, and what's in it for me at the expense of everyone else, you know, with victimization in the forefront, to the thought system of inclusion and seeing innocence in everyone. And that thought system is one where we see that nothing happened. And so that's the non-existent problem. And so that one statement, maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem, is really a very pragmatic mechanism for practicing kindness moment to moment and day to day, which is sort of also summarized in lessons 3 and 34. I'm not upset for the reason I think, and I could see peace instead of this. So.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Absolutely. I wanted to read just a little bit from chapter 5, Healing and Wholeness.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's section 4, Teaching and Healing, and then paragraph 8, which talks a little bit about kindness, and then we can discuss it. How can you, Jesus is talking here, how can you who are so holy suffer? All your past, except its beauty, is gone, and nothing is left but a blessing. I have saved all your kindnesses and every loving thought you ever had. I have purified them of the errors that hid their light and kept them for you in their own perfect radiance. They are beyond destruction and beyond guilt. They came from the Holy Spirit within you, and we know what God creates is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the first part of that. But I was talking right before you came on, Bruce, about the ego's kindness to destroy, which Ken talks about, versus the Holy Spirit's, you know, kindness to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're talking about kindness, as the Course is saying it, you know, it really is that attitude of being the right-minded observer. When we're not seeing anyone as separate, we're understanding where their behavior, and of course ours too, when it's us, where that's coming from. And that is a kind of kindness that heals, because it's synonymous with gentleness, the characteristics of the teachers of God, of a teacher of God, and also with forgiveness, and which is recognizing what you thought your brother has done to you has not occurred,
mm-hmm.
because you made this up, and your brother is in your mind, as you pointed out earlier. And this is, you know, radical forgiveness. But otherwise, forgiveness to destroy, the ego's kind of kindness to destroy, forgiveness to destroy, keeps the illusion real in the mm-hmm. mind. It keeps the separation going. And so that's what we're talking about here, guys, when we're saying, you know, the ego's being kind is very different than the Holy Spirit's kindness.
Very, very different. Yeah, and we notice it by how we feel, because when we've got some kind of a chip on our shoulder or some axe to grind or, you know, something that we want to keep division, polarization, separation still, you know, fulminating and percolating,
right.
and otherwise, you know, fomenting. I'm just grabbing some of those seldom used words there for fun. But, you know, we keep it going. We keep it going, right? And,
right.
And it's like, well, why do we want to do that? It takes a lot of effort to stay upset and to stay angry and to make big deals out of nothing, much ado about nothing.
Right.
And it just doesn't matter. True.
That's right. And, you know, these are right-minded thoughts Bruce and I are talking about, saying it just doesn't matter. You know, the metaphysics, we understand that what really matters here is our function of forgiveness, which I'm going to read something next from chapter 25, the special function, which is forgiveness here. So things do matter here, except for not the ego's reason for them. We're shifting from, this is how we start, where we're having the experience we believe we're here. We shift from the ego's interpretation of everything to the Holy Spirit's, which is a classroom. So indeed, that part matters, that we do our part, which is forgiving this dream, which is joining with others at the level of the mind, recognizing, you know, that we all believe that we've separated from God. We're all in fear here and all in guilt. And that's the premise. I mean, that's the premise that you're starting from, you know. And another quote that I love is from the section, the special function, section 6 in chapter 25. And I'll just read a couple of sentences that lead up to it. The grace of God rests gently on forgiving eyes, and everything they look on speaks of him, capital H, to the beholder. And that's us, the beholder, guys. That could be the observer, right? Okay. He can see no evil, nothing in the world to fear, and no one who is different from himself. This is when we're looking through the lens of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And as he loves them, so he looks upon himself with love and gentleness. He would no more condemn himself for his mistakes than damn another. He is not an arbiter of vengeance nor a punisher of sin. The kindness of his sight rests on himself with all the tenderness it offers others. This is forgiveness too. I just think that's so beautiful, mm-hmm. how we see mm-hmm. ourselves, we see others. How we see others, we see ourselves. And as we are looking with forgiving eyes, it's impossible to judge. It's impossible to see the differences. And the kindness of this spiritual sight is what then we extend out to others. And then we don't have to worry about what to say or do. It just will naturally, intuitively flow out of that, the right-minded thought system. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned, brought this quote up, because this and the previous one just really speak to the importance of the gentleness and the tenderness and the gracious ease by which we are able to navigate through the world when we're not out to, string everybody else up.
Right. Well said.
When we want to take everyone off the hook rather than put them on the hook for imagined slights and, you know, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as Shakespeare has said, right?
But all those things that
really come and go are not big deals, and that's where, you know, in the last sentence you read, the kindness of his sight rests on himself with all the tenderness it offers others, because we would only heal and only bless being that's we see that nature in ourselves and everyone else when we're willing to look past the insanity of the ego thought system, which doesn't see that at all. So it really does take some effort on our part to to at least be willing to let the Holy Spirit guide our minds past those blocks, past those obstacles. And, you know, the first one of those obstacles is the desire to get rid of the peace, which is the desire to get rid of kindness, because the ego doesn't think it deserves that, you know?
Right.
You know, our inner golem thinks it should be hanging out, eating weird stuff at the bottom of a cave in the mountain and hoping no one finds them and discovers their ring of invisibility because of the wretched self-concept it has. But that's, you know, we as egos, we think we're the home of evil, darkness, and sin. And that's the unchallenged assumption until we look at the stuff in our mind that comes up when we're not at peace. And those become the forgiveness classrooms to say, well, wow, if I'm just like your experience with, you know, feeling physically under the weather, right? I actually had a similar experience a few days ago myself. And I just looked at, you know, okay, why do I need to, you know, belabor this? And so, you know, I took the appropriate magic and within a few hours,
right.
I was kind of back to normal and it was just like, okay. Not a big deal, and I synchronistically there was our neighbors and my wife were going to go tide pooling at one of the low tides of the year, and I was just feeling kind of mediocre. And I thought, well, just go on ahead without me, and it worked out fine. And you know, I got to see the pictures, and I got stuff done that I wouldn't have gotten done otherwise, and it all worked out fine. So
similar,
you know,
yeah.
The same kind of thing I think happens, and we just kind of noticed that there's no big deal, and because I didn't make a big deal, my wife Nancy didn't make a big deal, and so, you know,
we just go along with ease, like you said, with gracious ease, navigating through the world without judging ourselves and others, right?
Yeah, that reminds me of I came across this actually the other day, a lyric from a silly Beatles tune, which is actually more profound than I thought when I gave it some thought, which is the Yellow Submarine song.
Oh, yeah, famous.
Because we live a life of ease. Every one of us is all we need. That's one of the lyrics. And I thought, well.
Wow.
That really is it.
I hear that differently now. I hear that so differently. I used to hear that when I was little all the time.
But if there was, you know, just a few of us, that would be a different lyric, but every one of us is all we need. You know, it's like, well, if we're all included in that kindness, we don't leave anyone out or anything out. We're kind to our phone. We're kind to our computer. We're kind to the pens and the pencils and the rubber bands and whatever. I'm just looking around my desk and what's the solid state drive. I haven't had time to install for a month or so. It's been sitting there waiting for me to upgrade my computer. I can be kind to the lamp, to the car keys, to the, you know, whatever, everything, you know.
Right.
Seemingly inanimate things, we can be kind to those things as well. You know, the yard I was working out in earlier.
Right. Absolutely. Because it's all one. That's a good example of the inclusivity again. You know, kindness is a process that's in the mind because there is nothing else. Right.
Yeah.
If all our separate and specialness thoughts are gone, all that's left is that love. And then everything is an extension of that love. That's what makes this course simple. It's not easy to practice, but when you recognize that you're either like projecting fear and guilt or extending love, depending on which teacher you choose in your mind, it can become very simple. And I think that our examples of focusing, you know, you and I with our different, you know, physical sicknesses or whatever, how do I say it more simply than, what happens in my mind, guys, is that I switch automatically. I go back to the content and I say things like, oh, I must not have chosen love because here I am. I'm making Mark very real. I'm making this whole thing a very big deal. I'm seeing him as separate than me. Now, yes, guys, he's separate than me in the dream. Bodies are separate, but we're not bodies. That's not our real identity. And so we want to, I think this is why, Bruce, you can correct me. I think the quote is, do not, Jesus is saying, do not set forgiveness in an earthly frame, but you can also substitute kindness. Do not set kindness in an earthly frame, which means at some point, in order to really wake up from the dream of separate, from the dream of fear, is we have to not set this in an earthly frame and remember, I use all the circumstances that are happening to me, the circumstance in form was feeling guilty this weekend about what's going on with form, but I had to go back to the mind above the battleground and recognize that if I had not been in my ego thought system in the first place, which means I had already chosen separation and attack, I would not, it's impossible to have the experience of attacking yourself or feeling guilty in the dream. It's impossible because in the Holy Spirit mind, you're not interpreting it that way. It's a completely different translation of what's going on. It now the circumstance that I used the red flag was the feeling of guilt with regards to going on a trip, brought back to the right-minded teacher is, it's the classroom in forgiveness. So yet again, I'm in this dream in my mind, and the ego's telling me it's real, and I'm guilty, and the Holy Spirit is saying, nothing's happened, you haven't sinned. Remember, you're watching. If you watch with me, you know that it's a call for love, a call for help to change your mind again. So it's just very powerful exercise this weekend to keep, was thinking of that, you know.
Yeah, and it, everything seen properly really is a call to change from what doesn't work to what does.
Exactly. What doesn't work to what does. That's the perfect way to say it. So I just was thinking of those thoughts, and I thought, you know, and Jesus says that this is an idle dream. Well, what does idle mean? Nothing's happening. There's nothing really going anywhere. Like if your car's idling, and Ken uses this example, I think, if the engine's running, but nothing's really happening, you're just idling. So sometimes I think of that too, you guys, like I'll be like thinking, yeah, it's an idle dream. What am I making of this? Am I making this real, this projection that all happened at once and is already over? You know, or am I just using it as a classroom because we don't need to beat ourselves up that we're having the experience that we're here, but we can become a happy learner and we can be in the right mind of forgiveness. As you said, Bruce, we graciously ease, you know, with gracious ease, we navigate the world. So while we still appear to be here, we can become a happy learner and be in the happy dream of forgiveness, which is still in the mind, but our inner experience is going to be very different no matter what's happening externally. And I was telling a friend the other day, I'm so glad to know this for like the rest of my life. Because it makes everything so much easier in the sense that any time I'm anything but peaceful, I can just remember that I must have chosen wrongly. And you're not only making that choice for yourself, guys, the self that you think you are, you're making it for the entire sonship because you're one with it. And it reminds all the minds that they also have that choice. So it's very inclusive. You know, we go home with everyone or not at all or no one. Right.
Exactly. You know, as you were sharing that, I was thinking how, you know, it really is so important to remember that we always have that option. But you know, we're still kind of in the early phases from the perspective of the course. And I think that's another Ken Wapnick phrase that I find actually encouraging, even though it seems at first glance like it might not be. And that is in nowhere in the course does he call us mature, certainly not adults, and really refers to us primarily as infants and toddlers, you know, essentially.
So
the next paragraph of the one in chapter 25, the Justice of God chapter, that you quoted, I just glanced down at that and I thought, well, that actually has got some good stuff in it. Can I read that and talk about that for a moment? Because I think it fits very nicely of how we get to the kindness is oftentimes looking at where, you know, we've chosen the default of unkindness. And there's, you know, a practice for that. And so this says, eyes become used to darkness, and the light of brilliant day seems painful to the eyes grown long accustomed to the dim effects perceived at twilight, which is sort of like, you know, immaturity, childishness, that we just, I want to stay in the dark, you know.
Right.
And they turn away from sunlight and the clarity it brings to what they look upon. Dimness seems better, easier to see, and better recognized. Somehow the vague and more obscure seems easier to look upon, less painful to the eyes than what is wholly clear and unambiguous. Yet this is not what eyes are for. And who can say that he prefers the darkness and maintains he wants to see? Well, the Plato's allegory of the cave immediately comes to mind, which is the story of, you know, people who are chained together and chained in such a way that they can only face away from the mouth of the cave, which is where there's, you know, a dim light that reaches all the way back to where they are and casts these obscure, ambiguous, vague shadows to grab a few words from what we just read. But when we're in a fog, you know, we're sometimes physically not well. I've even noticed that, you know, if I even with just a mild fever, for example, sometimes if you notice your thoughts can be kind of more jumbled and scrambled.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it's like, you know, they even call it feverish thinking. But in a sense, we're sort of all thinking feverishly with, you know, a dis-ease, if you will, that comes from not seeing ourselves as part of the every one of us. That's all we need. So. We need to, you know, get back to the crew and have a happy submarine life, and eventually emerge from this and get above the surface of the ocean and see that we have some daylight to look on here. So yeah, mixing metaphors tremendously there.
That's great. No, wonderful. Remembering our wholeness, even if we, you know, in the throes of an ego attack or something, it's hard, but you can do it thought by thought. Just remember, there's just a part of your mind. It's a thought away, the truth about yourself, even though it's hard to get in touch with that here. We're not asked to remember the kingdom of God here in this state, but we know we're working towards that. We're climbing up the ladder, as you were saying earlier, Bruce. You know, we're children here, we're learning, but we can be happy learners, guys. We really can, which is not everything's going to be perfect, of course, in the world, but we can strive to have the perfect forgiveness of the world. We can strive to remember forgiveness, you know, it doesn't even have to be perfect, but I was just making a play that, you know, the world won't be perfect, but we can strive to just do our forgiveness work here, and you will experience a profound difference in how you live. It just will be like night and day, to use what they're talking about. I mean, when the, you know, the sunlight comes out and we're not so dimly lit anymore in the fog of fear and guilt, you know, and we start to come out. But one of the most important things, and Bruce and I always talk about this on the show too, is to be gentle, to be kind. The healing power of kindness. Remember to join with the capital S self that you really are. Remember to call on the Holy Spirit and Jesus. They're symbols in the dream for us. We need these symbols, you know. But just to be kind to yourself, and just remember, you're never alone. It's impossible to be alone or unloved. And Bruce, you're not going to believe this. I'm just having so much fun with you that they just gave me the 90-second, 90 seconds left in my ear. So we'll which is now 60 seconds. So we'll definitely do this again and make some announcements next time, of course.
Okay.
Bruce's site, you guys, is acimblog.com. We always encourage everyone to check out facim.org and ACIM, foundationforinnerpeace.org, the Foundation for Inner Peace, and the Foundation for A Course in Miracles websites, which we love. And Bruce, it's been so great to chat with you again.
Likewise, likewise.
We'll do it again soon. And I'm going to call you off air too, because I just had a couple of other questions I'm going to ask just about other stuff. So anyway, hey, love all you guys. And
likewise.
So great to join with you again. And just remember to be kind to yourself, be well, and blessings. See you again next
We all deserve
month.
It.
Yes! Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Jackie.